Is this on? Is that better? There we go. Awesome. Brilliant. Oh, me. I have a new Bible. Hasn't been used yet. I was using my old Bible until it came. It was really funny. I ordered it Thursday night when I looked on Thursday morning at the prayer meeting, and all the inside come away from the outside as I took it out of my bag. So I bought a new one, and I ordered it at 10 o'clock on Thursday night, and it came 5 o'clock on Friday. Awesome. Amazon, they're awesome when you got Prime. Next day delivery. We like it. It's all shiny. Ben went... Yeah, it's the same Bible as what I had. So he said, I'm a creature of habit. He said, Dad, it's all gold. And I was like, yeah, the other one's just worn out. That's all. The gold has just worn out. Okay. How are we all doing? Yeah, we're all right. I've had a good week. It's been all right. The men are like that, did you say? Did you say something like that? I've had a really good week. Anyone else had a really good week? Awesome. You know what? When God is in your heart, okay, no matter what comes against you, you can't help but have a good week. Okay? Because you know what? Whatever comes against you, you can find the joy. You know? Joy. We're going to sing a song later, a new song, and it's called The King of My Heart. Okay? And when he's the king of your heart, you can find joy in all things. Okay? Joy. 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 Some of us need to tell our faces that we have joy. I say that often. You know, it's no good. Where are you going?
Going to church.
Oh, is church good?
Yeah, it's really great.
Tell your face that you're happy. I have to tell my face, I've said it before, because when I'm relaxed I have a miserable face. Some people think I've got the ump, but I haven't, I'm just relaxed. It's just how my face relaxes into miserable mode. Awesome. So, who has read 1 Corinthians this week? Some. What chapter did you read? 11, okay. 10. 10. Anyone else on 10? Oh, have we? Everyone else read 11? Right, you was in front of me. We're on 10. Tammy, I know she seemed like she preached from the whole of 10 last week. And I had a word with her in the week. Quite clearly, yes, she did say, she said, I've overstepped the mark. Quite clearly, it said, you only go to verse 22. So, I'm not going to preach over what she preached last week, because she did an awesome job. She really did. And I'm so glad that people told her how good a job she did. It was a great job. Okay, so we, today, are doing 23 to 33, okay? But because of all the stuff in between 24 and 30, my main verses that I'm going to concentrate on are verse 23 and 24 and verse 30 to 33, okay? What I want us to understand is this is all about my headline at the top of verse 23 is do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. It doesn't say just because something may upset you that you don't do to the glory of God. Just because someone might ask you to pick up some toilet paper that's fell on the floor in the toilets at some point when we get our building in November. Someone says, oh, do us a favour, go and pick up there's some water on the floor. Would you just mop it up for us? Because it's really quick. It might not be me, it might be someone else. Probably won't be me because I wouldn't have gone in there probably. But you know what? Don't Do it to the glory of God. You know, do it to the glory of God. Let people see the glory of God in you. That makes sense. Does it make sense? It does to us three. That's fine. Okay. Let me encourage you to join in. Okay? Let me encourage you to amen or yeah, or if you're saying no, just come and talk to me afterwards and we'll talk it through. It's really good. Okay, so let's go. We're going to look at verses 23, 24 and 30 to 33, because all in between has been covered over previous weeks. These are some of the subjects that we have covered as we have journeyed through 1 Corinthians so far. Divisions in the church, really happy stuff, some of it. Divisions in the church, proclaiming Christ, true wisdom only found in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Christ our foundation, starting block or stumbling block. Tammy done a great job with that one the other week. Surrendering our rights, loving on people a couple of weeks ago. Idolatry, who's on the throne of your life. How not to live, or what not to do, and how to live. What we should put in place to be more like Jesus. Paul says, and we get to it in a few weeks at the end of chapter 12, it says, and it's before the what we call the love chapter, in chapter 13, okay, that's read at all marriages, okay, and we've preached on it before, and I did the whole thing of replacing putting my name in, which you all had a good laugh at, when we looked at it a few months ago. But it says, just before it, and that's what I love about Paul, and it says, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Still more excellent way. And that's the key. It's letting this word of God combined with your relationship with Jesus Christ and your infilling of the Holy Spirit show you a more excellent way. Yeah? There we go. We're getting there. We're getting there. Okay, let's read. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 33, to the end. Well, actually, we'll just throw in chapter 11, verse 1. Okay? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbour. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you and without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offence to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. And chapter 11 verse 1 says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Yes? Powerful words. Powerful words. As was said a few weeks ago, the church at Corinth concentrated on their own rights and knowledge. But that means when it comes to receiving teaching, their question is this: what's the harm to me? Because if it's teaching that challenges how we live our lives, what's the question that you ask? Is it a question of what harm does this do to me if I change? What is it going to cost me? Because that's a question we ask ourselves, isn't it? Someone says, you need to change radically. If the Word of God is read to you and taught to you, and out of that, you are challenged to change radically how you think or how you behave, it's going to cost you. I love these guys, okay? Because just over a year ago, Jackie was still in a wheelchair. A year ago tomorrow. There you go. A year ago tomorrow. I'm not going to get it to stand up, because they'll see you up there anyway, wouldn't they? A year ago tomorrow, healed. No longer in a wheelchair. Walked around. I've seen her in a Jack tracksuit running up and down, getting ready for next year's marathon. That's prophetic, prophetically. See, I'm speaking over you. So, but you know what? They had some things that then come upon them. Because their car and benefits were tied into the fact that Jackie was in a wheelchair. So their cost to them was they were going to lose the car after some time when it all, they, you know, like to see the proof, they like to see that she's still walking a few months later. And the benefits then get cut, which has an impact on their standard of living. But you know what? They had a choice. Are they honest? And we've all seen these things on the telly, you know, these things where the hidden camera and they've caught someone who's supposed to hurt their back and they're in a wheelchair or they're on sticks and they go to their benefits place or their doctors and they're all, oh, can't walk. And then all of a sudden they're caught running down the road. Well, that's a decision that someone has to make. Are they going to be honest? Or not? And I love the fact that you two chose to be honest. There was no pressure from us. There was no conversation in that sense. They just went, you know what? This is what happened. The glory of God is that God has chosen to heal at this moment. So actually, to do all to the glory of God, that means we need to give everything back and live life and rely on God to give them what they need. And God is good. All the time. Awesome. Where was I? So the question is, what's the harm to me? What's it going to cost? But that's what happens when we are focused on us. And it's a question, what we should be asking as well is, what good can this be for me? See, we concentrate on the negative, what's this going to cost me, where the question we need to ask with it is, what good is this for me? What good is going to come out of this for me? You see, we don't like change. Who likes change? Anyone like change? Just change? Oh, a couple of them. That's good. See, the reason why we ask certain questions and not others is we want to be able to carry on living life as we always have. Okay? See, if we ask the question, what harm does this do to me? And not ask the question, how does this benefit me? Right? If we just ask the question, how does this harm me? Then what it does, it gives us an excuse to live how we were living. Do you get me? Are you there? Good. Okay? So we need to ask the other question. What good can come out of what has happened? Okay? In fact, what we do is we shut our ears to the other question. We try to drown out that what might force us to change our ways. And it's because we are happy where we are. But as Paul says here, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbour. The problems are this. Number one, we ask the wrong question. Right? We ask the wrong question, and that's so that we can carry on as we were before. And number two, we don't ask enough questions, which leaves us with an incomplete answer. And so with an incomplete answer, we live an unbalanced life. doing good deeds? So some people have asked one question. How can I help people? How can I serve others? Right? And the answer, they can find it in the Bible, if they looked in the Bible. They can find it in most places. Feed the hungry. Clothe the poor. House the homeless. Help the widows. There's lots of stuff that they can do. Okay? Give someone who's sitting on the street £5 to go and get something, some food. But that's unbalanced. Because the question should be after us as well. Not just how can I save that person, but how can I get saved? See, when we ask that question, the answer comes back, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Every single time, every single question, Jesus is the answer. What we need is Jesus, and out of our relationship with him, good deeds come. Just because something is permitted doesn't mean it's beneficial. The Corinthians did not seek the helpful things or the things that would edify. Essentially, instead of wanting to go forward with Jesus as much as they could, they wanted to know how much they could get away with and still be Christians. But that's the wrong approach. It's not how far can I get to the line, or can I walk on the line and still call out and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Don't go to the line. Because if you go to the line, believe me, you'll step over the line. I've talked about it before with a cake shop. I'm not going to go into the cake shop. You know, after one day here, and then on the 10th day, you're eating cake. Okay? The line was, don't go near the cake shop, because that's what ruins you. Okay? But every day, you went a step closer. You went one street, then you went to the street where it is, then you crossed over, then you was okay with that, so you went in the shop, and that's fine. Then you, I'm sorry, I'm going into it. And then you went into the shop, and but that was fine, because you can look at the cake, but you're not going to eat the cake. Then you can stand at the counter and smell the delicious cake. But it's okay, because you're not going to eat it. The next day, you're eating cake. And that's how it goes. The closer you go to the line, then you're right, I'm okay, I'm on the line here, I'm still a Christian, I'm still honouring God in the way I live. And the next day, you stepped across the line. And you're in sin, deep. But at that time, there's another issue with it. At that point, when you've stepped over the line, you've spent days, what's the word I'm looking for? Doesn't matter. You've spent days of just giving away, compromise, there you go. You've got spent days to get to the line, or step over the line, you've spent days compromising, or weeks, or months, compromising on what you believe. Compromising on what the word of the Lord says, okay? And at that point, you're so far away from God that you don't even notice that you've stepped over the line. And that's devastating. Because it's actually when you come to the point where you've realised you've stepped over the line, it's like in marriage, you see, I'm going to pick on men, you see a lady, and you think, oh, she's attractive. Great. The next day you park your car, you think, oh, it'd be quite nice to have another look at that nice, attractive lady. And you get out the car. And the next day, you find a way to try and talk to her. Just going to talk to her. It's not an issue. Just going to say, good morning. Good morning. Next day, it's good morning, but actually, you may even stop and try and get her to have a conversation. You know what? You're already charging down a whole route. You're already in sin. But you know what? By the time that you've asked her for a drink or for lunch, gone. Because the devil's whispering you ear, it's fine. But we're to be people that do all for the glory of God. I've gone way off. Just needed to say it. Or something is permitted doesn't mean it's beneficial. That doesn't mean you can go and chat up other ladies. Don't hear me wrong. All right? You can eat cake. That's fine. Do not chat up women. Or ladies, give the eyes to men. Don't go to the line. That's the wrong approach. As the Corinthian Christians asked the question, what's the harm to me? They didn't consider how their actions harmed others. Just because something is fine for me doesn't mean I should do it. My own rights or what I know to be permitted for myself are not the standards by which I judge my behaviour. I must consider what is the loving thing to do towards my brothers and sisters in Christ. I must. Paul hits a nail on the head when he says in verse 31, do all to the glory of God. Our whole lives should be lived like this. Everything we do should be with God in mind. How do I glorify God in my life? Holding nothing back. How you think is one way. Is what you think of others God honouring? When you open your mouth, does it honour God? What about how you speak to others? Does that give glory to God? Or are there some conversations that you need to go and repent of and go to the person and say sorry? Maybe they weren't even there in the conversation. You still need to go and say sorry to them. Maybe you could do all to the glory of God through your gifting. Even just doing something with the salvation that has been bought and paid for you. Please do something with it. Please do something with it. It cost a lot. We weren't saved to sit. We were saved to do all to the glory of God. Maybe your gifting is in hosting people. Maybe you're an awesome host, a fantastic host. Then do it to the glory of God. Get people to your house. Invite them around for dinner, lunch, coffee, tea, cold drink, cakes. As long as it doesn't need, don't want a sin. Maybe get some other people together in church who are like-minded, who love to have people at their house, who love to spend time with people and just host them. You know what? Come and speak to one of the leadership in the church, ourselves or one of the elders, and talk about what you want to do. That this is your gifting of hosting. You know what we could do? With a hospitality team. When we move into the new building in November, no more setting up. See, the people who shout loudest are the ones who are here at 8:30 in the morning unloading a trailer and putting it here and getting everything ready so that everyone else can come in. But a hospitality team, a team that makes sure that the teas and coffees are sorted. A team that makes sure that if we're doing an event, that food is sorted. A team that makes sure that as you come in, good morning, how are you? How are you doing? Is it your first time here today? My hands are up, but I've got a warm heart, Olive, it's fine. You know, is it your first time with us? You know what, it doesn't matter. Maybe it's your 100th time with us. Okay, it's your first time. You know what, I'm going to make sure that you're shown to a seat. In fact, you're a little bit early, coffee's still on the go, and there's some pastries left. Would you like a coffee or a pastry before church starts? Awesome, I'll make sure that someone gets you it. Can you get her a... Awesome. Hospitality. You know what, most people make up their mind if they're going to stay in a church within 7 seconds of walking in the church. Doesn't matter what's preached, doesn't matter what music it is, it's the welcome. We need to work on ours and make it better. Okay? At the end of a service, hospitality. People need to make sure that no one is left out. I don't want anyone to walk out that door without someone having a conversation with them. Even if they're trying to leg it out the door. Hello, how are you doing? Did you enjoy today's service? Yeah, it was good to see you. Really wonderful. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. And they're at the door. Hospitality. That's your gift. Come and see us. You know what? We'd love a hospitality team. Hospitality. Someone in the car park or someone pulls in. And you go, actually, we're full. You're a little bit late, but we're full. Let me show you where you can park, because there's someone else down there who can show you into to park your car. And you know what? It's absolutely dreadful rain out there. We've got some umbrellas. Let me just come to your car. Have you got an umbrella? No. Let me come to your car and just put an umbrella over and walk you into church. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yes? Who would like to be welcomed like that? Yeah, valet parking. You know, you see someone, a lady getting out of the car, or a man, because it happens, and they've got two or three, four, five kids with them, trying to get them in, and it's belting down with rain. Help them. Help them. See the pastor carrying his bag. Weighted down with his Bibles and everything else. I'll take that, Pastor. Hospitality. Maybe it's generosity. Ooh. Maybe it's generosity. Maybe you're a really generous person. You love to give. You love to give to things. Then give all to the glory of God. Don't give because you feel you need to. And you give there, but this side of the face is going, you'll have it. Give to the glory of God. Be generous with your tithes and your offerings. Give generously. Give to the glory of God, because it's all His anyway. Give. Maybe it's technology. It's another bad word, isn't it? Some people. Technophobes. Half our set up team are going, what do I do when we move to the building? Well, I found a job for you. I'm going to teach you how to use the computer. We're going to teach you how to use the PA. Rick doesn't have to sit up there every single week. He can sometimes sit with his wife and worship with his wife and family. That's cool, isn't it? Rick's like, oh, I've got to come down the front now. Might get picked on. You will. But if you're technically minded, get involved. Get involved in one of the teams. Media. I want to do some filming. We're going to do all sorts of stuff. So we can have proper stuff on screen that we can just get on with, instead of having to worry about everything else we have to do on a Sunday morning. Get involved. Don't get involved with a grouchy face. Tell yourself to smile. Make sure it's not about you, but it's all about giving glory to God. What I love about this is that Paul here brings out what is most important for all the church. Then and now. If we are to live in unity as God's people, we shouldn't be trying to get one up on others, trying to have power or authority over them. This is what I have. This is what I can do. Making people feel excluded. Making people feel excluded from things because what they don't have, or because of where they're from, or their social standing. What it's about is doing everything that brings glory to God. Paul, apart from Jesus, Paul's my hero. okay? Always has been. From the moment I got saved, Paul's been my hero. And what we need to understand is this. Paul's social morality, right, is theocentric. There's going to be three big words I'm going to use over this next sort of few minutes. Theocentric. Anyone have an idea? What about any ex-Bible students? Theocentric? God-centered. Yes. Theo. God. God-centered. That is that God is the central focus. And as we have seen all the way through his writings in 1 Corinthians, that he's also Christocentric. That's quite self-explanatory, isn't it? That Christ is at the centre of all he does. And we can see that in verse 1 of chapter 11 when he said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." The problem comes when we, the church, think. Another big word, I've got to say this one right. Anthropocentric. Anyone? Anyone want to have a guess? Anthropocentric. Anthropocentric. Anyone want to have a guess? Go on, Simon. See, I was pointing at Simon, really, when I asked the first one, because he's done Bible college, you see, and I was waiting for him to go, so that was more impressive, mate, the last one, because I was like, what's that mean? What's that mean? I've seen that before. Which means we put humankind as the most central or most important element of existence in place of God. See, when we do this, when we put mankind at the centre, that means that one body of people will become more important than another body of people. And we will lift one body of people up above another body of people, doing harm to this body. So if I said, I favour the left in church this morning, so I'm going to speak to you guys, and I'm just going to teach, and I'm going to turn it down, we're going to turn them speakers off, just have them off, we're going to put a wall here, and I'm just going to centre on you guys. And what we do is we're lifting you up above these guys. And that's wrong. It's wrong. We lift others up at the expense of others. In practice, giving glory to God means not hindering the salvation of those in the church or outside of the church. Okay? It means following Paul's own example of trying to please everyone. Hang on. I'm sure he said don't please everyone the other week. I did. And I meant it. But this is what you have to understand what Paul is saying. Let me just get a drink. It means following Paul's own example of trying to please everyone so that they may be saved. The idea of pleasing people is not to be a people pleaser. Okay? You need to hear me on that. It's not a matter of self-seeking civility. Okay? Paul doesn't say that. It's more about this. It's more about the sacrificial and costly business of stepping down in our status, whether that be social, whatever, okay? And giving up otherwise legitimate rights and privileges in order to identify with and win people into the kingdom of heaven. or win over the majority. So Paul doesn't do it like a politician. Right? Paul doesn't do it like a politician who does it for his own reward or her own reward to forward themselves, okay, to get into power, to have a seat in government, local or national. He does it for the sake of others. Okay? What Paul is trying to do with the church in Corinth is stop the politics. Stop the political parties. I follow Apollos, I follow Paul, I follow this one, that one, that one. Okay? And the factions. He wants that. He wants them to leave that all behind. He does it because of this. He's a servant of Christ. And therefore, he has given his life to the imitation of Christ. I want to be an imitator of Christ. I'm not Christ, but I want to imitate what Christ has done. Anyone else? Because we're Christ followers, aren't we? So that means we follow his example of living life. So that means we become imitators of what Christ has done. If Christ has healed the blind, then we can heal the blind. In fact, Christ says, doesn't he? He says, they will do greater things than I. They will do greater things than I. Paul is doing what Christ has done, even in the foolishness of self-giving on the cross. Because people would have seen it as foolishness. That he gave himself for what? He gave himself for us. He gave himself so that the victory was won. That death was conquered. He gave himself for us so that we were set free. So that there may be healing. Romans 15, 1-3 says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Wow. Wow. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, also to the interests of others. Yet we struggle with it. We struggle with it, don't we? We really do. It's demanding. It's not easy. Do you know how many people have walked away from Christianity? Because it's hard. Because it's not easy. I've said about it before, it's a battlefield. And so many people have limped off the battlefield never to return. But they had something missing. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. See, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we put on the armour of God, we can go to battle. I don't know if some of you won't have known this. When we first came here and took the church on in August of 2012, we was at a Tuesday night prayer meeting. In boldness, new pastor. Coming in, devil, let's go to war. 2 days later, I was fearful. In fact, I couldn't bear. I did it, but every time I walked into Station Street, because it's thinner, and I'd walk down the front and sit on the chair, and I felt like the walls were coming in to get me. From someone who knows his own mind and says what should happen and does what he should do, I went to someone who was very fearful. Tammy couldn't take the kids to school on her own. I had to go with her in case they were killed going to Old Leek and back. Tammy, who was on her third child, right, making a bottle for Eva, and I would walk behind, I'd be standing behind her. You've made that wrong. I'll make it again. Tammy was very gracious, and let me just say, she was just like, go on then, make it. So I'd make it again. Everywhere that everyone went in the house, I went with a Hoover. Tammy would like them days to come back in them. That. But I thought that I'd lost it. Okay? And a little voice in my head kept doing this. Wasn't like this in Lincoln, where we'd moved from. This wasn't happening to you in Lincoln. You need to move back to your house in Lincoln. Because he didn't want us here. He didn't want us here. But God did. And God has a plan and a purpose for us all. And we're to do everything to the glory of God. God tried to take us out then. Just tried a few other things. Sore throat for 8 months where I couldn't preach for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks on end. And then obviously cancer last year. But you know what? Still here. You know? And God carries you through. God carries you through. I said at the beginning, didn't I? Joy. You know? We need to find joy in everything. Last year when I was in hospital, I said to my good friend, and you'll know Dave Mansfield, who's come and preached on quite a few occasions. He's not just a friend to me, he's a friend to this church. He's a really great man of God. And he came up every day. He said to me one day, when I was at my head, or whatever they was pumping into me, and I was having all feelings of being left by God, left alone, dejected, left there because it weren't happening right, this can't be right, my kids are distraught, my wife is distraught. And they're seeing me in this hospital and it hasn't healed. The where they did the join was leaking and it was making my heart rate do 154. And I'm like, look, what's your plan here? Come on, seriously. Me and God was about to have a big falling out. You know, it happens to pastors as well. And that night, about 10 o'clock, when God smacked me around the head, because sometimes he does, because sometimes that's what I need to hear what God that God loves me. He gave me a bit of a spiritual smack and just started sticking me in his word. You see, I hadn't been near his word for 2 weeks while I sat in there. I was thankful that it had been done, but then all this, what was going on, I'm sitting in hospital 2 weeks later. I should have been out after 8 to 10 days. I shouldn't have been there for 21 days. Can't eat any food, and yet I put on 2 stone. Work that one out. And I had to get back in my word. And I had to apologise to God. And one day me and Dave Mansfield had this conversation about how I was feeling. And he was just so gentle with me. And he said, sorry. He said, I'll never leave you here. Every day, I'll be here. To lift you up, to support you. Even if it's just for 10 minutes. But I'm here. Do you know what? Every day, get Every day he was there. Every day. And it was so important. It is demanding. It's not easy. But to do all for the glory of God is Christ's model. And Paul embodies it. And he exhorts the Corinthian church to do the same. And today, as we read his words to the church in Corinth, he calls us to do the same too. To do all to the glory of God. Amen. We're going to finish there. In a moment we're going to take communion. When God speaks to you, don't ask the wrong questions. When God speaks to you, make sure you ask enough questions. Not just, what's this going to cost me? But how can I benefit others as well? How's this going to benefit me? Do all to the glory of God. Let's just stand. If you can raise your hands, let's just raise them to God. We can all lift our eyes to him as well. Lord, we just praise you and we give you the glory and the honour and the praise. And Lord, as we lift our hands and our eyes and our hearts towards you this morning, speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our very soul about maybe some of the things where we don't honour you. Where we don't give you the glory. Lord, where we're maybe we're even selfish. But Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us see the truth of your word. The truth of your love. The truth of who you are. Help us. Help us. Help us see the truth of Jesus this morning. And that the call upon his life is the call upon our lives. That we are to do all. All. Not some. Not bits. But all to the glory of God. Maybe you need to just spend a moment before you go and take communion. Maybe you need to do some business with God this morning. Before you take communion. So it's fine. Let me just say this before we do communion. Don't rush it. That's the whole thing of the word communion. Commune. Spend time with God. Spend time. Spend time with him. Even if it's spending time in your chair. Just because three people next to you, or three people in front of you, or three people behind you, you hear them get up and go to take communion. Just because they've done it, doesn't mean that that's the right moment for you. You know, I don't care if this takes the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and we have two songs. I really don't care. But just spend some time with him. Seeking his face. Getting just... Get him right. Just being right with him. It doesn't matter anything else. just right now, just take the focus off of you. Take your focus off of you having an argument with your husband or wife this morning, or whether your kid's done you nothing. Just focus upon him. That's what communion's about. Really about. Time with him. Time with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Just spending time with him. So whether you want to sit, whether you want to stand, whether you just, while I've been talking, you've done it. Go and take communion. But spend time with him. Parents, when you're ready, go and get your children.